Welcome back. You guys can stay here. Pat, you can have a seat. And we're going to, we're going to do Rise Up first. We had basically five themes that we worked with. The overarching theme was Rise Up Together. And so we're going to kind of speak to you and have scripture based on each of our themes, and then someone's going to tell you something about it. So our first theme is Rise Up Together, and so a reading from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity and harmony. Akon, make sure you speak into the microphone.
I saw God moving when we were traveling in the airplane. I'm not a big fan of airplanes, but I felt God moving with us while we were going to our place in Detroit, and I felt that he was protecting us and watching us. I saw grace shown by Mary Kay's love and awareness that we were far away from home, and she kept a deep connection throughout the week, like she was actually there. She wanted us to keep updated with pictures and how we were doing, knowing that we love her in the congregation and keeping in touch with us. I found Jesus in a place I never expected during MILE because it was full of diversity and ethnicities. I expected that there were going to be a ton of people from different states, but I never expected from other countries. We met people from Puerto Rico who actually flew from Puerto Rico, and it was far, far away from their home, and meeting them was exciting, and yeah.
Build bridges. Our next theme was build bridges, a reading from Mark chapter 12. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second commandment is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Sage?
As a part of the closing ceremonies for the Multicultural Youth Leadership Event, or MILE, we gathered on board a riverboat princess cruise ship along the Definitely Abled Youth Leadership Event, or DALE, participants. The outward appearance of the night was an exquisite dinner, an ice cream bar, an astonishing view of Canada, and a karaoke stage, but what it offered was much deeper than that. On the floor of the ship, youths from all walks of life and abilities gathered around the stage to cheer on a definitely abled young man singing Let It Go. Screaming fans swarmed the boy and sung along to the well-known song, and right there I felt God in the room singing along with us. I remember thinking, this is why I love being a Lutheran. The sense of community and love that I felt was overwhelming. Throughout the whole week, youths from all over the country had difficult and important conversations, yet the place where I saw the Holy Spirit at work the most was on the dance floor of a cruise ship. In the real world, many people feel vulnerable and unable to be themselves for fear of their judgmental surroundings, but not on that boat. It was as though we were all the same and simultaneously celebrating our differences. This past week in Detroit wasn't as much faith-altering as it was faith-sustaining for me, and I am so thankful that I was blessed with the opportunity to attend.
Our third theme was bearing burdens, bear burdens. A reading from Galatians chapter 6. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Molly and Robert.
Hello. All right. Pretty nervous. Okay. We did the service work, and oh God, I'm so nervous. All right. For our service work, we picked up trash, and I did like a handheld lawnmower. I cut grass for Pete over there, and I saw God like picking up the trash and cutting, like, for Pete, it's just like, he can do it, but I just help around and I get paid for it. But this is like helping someone that actually needs it and doing it for the community, and that actually got to me, because I know like anybody can do it, but we came from miles and miles away to do what God sent us to do, and that actually touched me. Like, anybody else can do it, but they really didn't want to, but it's just special. Like, I don't know, it's just hard to say. It's just special how anybody, like, we came from North Carolina to do something so just great. My words can't say what happened there, and it was just wonderful.
I'm really glad someone put tissues up here. I'm going to try to get through this. But so some of you know this, but for the past year and a half, I have been working in a nonprofit, and I work with primarily undocumented immigrants. And so this year has been hard. I've cried more than once in this church because it's truly opened my eyes to the reality of poverty in this country and what it really means to be the least of these. So though in opening my eyes, sometimes I really just wish my eyes were closed again. So at the gathering, I saw God in the way speaker after speaker after speaker stood up in front of 30,000 people and tackled issues head on of poverty, of racism, discrimination, immigration, and mental illness. Head on saying, and over, that as Christians, we cannot allow these injustices to continue. So these speakers came from around the world with a variety of different backgrounds and cultures, but all unified in the goal of spurring us to action. So not only were these words the restoration that I needed, but I got to watch God move within our youth. We had upfront and honest conversations about these issues that are often too uncomfortable to talk about and things that we would rather gloss over. And as a side note, a lot of this happened at about like 11:30 at night, so you could tell how strongly the youth felt about the need to have these discussions. And so when I returned to work on Monday after the gathering, I got to tell my like tired and my burnt out coworkers that, you know, that there really is like hope. Because if even a quarter of us here or the teenagers at the gathering were listening to what these people were saying, we're going to really do some great things.
Our fourth theme was break chains. A reading from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners. DC and Patrick.
One place that I saw God in Detroit was when we were walking back from, the Cobo Center. And we sat down to eat lunch inside of a park. And in that park was a musician. He was playing the guitar. And as I was eating out of the corner of my eye, I saw a homeless man walk by and sit down in the bench and start watching the musician play his music. And that, as soon as I looked over and saw him, that really showed me that that God is there. And from seeing the homeless guy walking by with a cart full of cans or something, trying to get money from him, and taking his time to sit down and watch a musician play through all the hard stuff that I'm sure he's been through, really touched me and really made this trip to Detroit really eye-opening to me. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. Again, for those, I'm Patrick Duffy. I went along with the group to be sort of the enforcer. This is my opportunity, and I appreciate all your patience sort of listening to all of us sort of long-winded and sharing our experience, but you can tell everybody's pretty passionate about it and had a neat experience. But this is my third gathering. I'm blessed to have our great church or congregation send me three times. It's hard work, but it's a labor of love. It really is. But I was going to share my experience and just let you know, like I said, I was sort of the enforcer. I went along to sort of help logistics and keep guys in line, and the poor boys were sick of me hearing them wake up. It was my job to get them up in the morning to play music to them, to some of my favorite songs are Rise and Shine and Give God Your Glory and things like that. And poor Robert is, I'm sure sick of me telling him to hustle up and get back with the group. So in that vein, there was one day we were with the North Carolina Synod. I'm doing an exercise sort of out of this book, sort of my story journal. It was Proclaimed Story. And we were doing some interesting things, which, you know, at the time I really wasn't into it too much. It was a long week. It was one of the last days, and I was just sort of just there, but kind of into it. And we had to do a timeline and a story. And one of the readings that we sort of did a story off of was Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. And we saw a video of this, which sort of when they made a video of this story, it really made it very, very much come to life. And one of the questions or exercises we had to do was regarding that story. In the story of Mark 2, 1 through 12, the people brought a paralyzed man to Jesus so that he could experience the love of Jesus. So with this exercise, we were asked to write in our booklets, and my pen wasn't working, and like I said, I was just tired and I wasn't in the mood. We were asked to, we were asked to think of the people in your life that have been friends like that for you, like the friends of the paralyzed man. These are the people who have carried you in some way to Jesus and showed you Jesus' love. Excuse me, I'm not usually very emotional. So we were doing this exercise, and I was with the boys and with Pastor Jennifer, and, we were sharing who we wrote down, and truly, and Pastor Jennifer asked me, well, who did we have, and the boys shared, and I thought of things like my parents and pastors and things like that I should, but I just... nothing came to me. I said, really, I couldn't think of anybody. Nobody bridged me. I do my own thing, and I'm sort of just on my own. And I didn't feel, that's just sort of how I felt at the time. So during the next, we did a service after that, and I was sort of stretching my legs outside that meeting room. Just sort of needed to stretch my legs and move. And one of the things with the gathering is kids, we share tchotchkes. We made just paper clips that you sort of, or clothespins. You clip on people's backpacks, and it has usually your church's name or a little scripture or just something, a Bible verse that you sort of share, and you sneak on other people's things, or you trade them with people. So I'm standing out there just sort of stretching my legs and just sort of looking out over the river there, and a group of girls, they just finished their service project, so they're all sweaty and dirty and wearing these shirts. They came by, and it was from a church called Little Cedar Lutheran Church in Iowa, I think. And on this little tchotchke, it's Psalm 119, 105. And the verse is, some of you probably know it, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, that's a reading that my mom sort of shared with me, or one of her favorite readings, when I was sort of in a challenging part in my life, living with them at home, trying to decide what the heck I was going to do with my life. This was a key reading and a favorite reading of hers that she shared with me. And just sort of, I saw Jesus, and sort of Jesus came back and hit me in the back of the head, I guess, and said, hey. And it was really, really meaningful to me, and it sort of stopped me in my tracks and brought me to tears, because at this point, my mother, she's about 80, and for about 5 years, she's been suffering with significant dementia. So at this point in her life, she's a sort of a beautiful shell of the saint that she sort of used to be. And at that moment, it sort of just really hit home to me in a place and a time when I really wasn't expecting it in the slightest. How you can look for Jesus anytime, and how important my mother was to me, or is to me still. Thank you.
And finally, our last theme for the day was Bring Hope, a reading from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Samuel and Andrea.
During my time in Detroit, I saw God in the people that lived in the city. They had so much pride in their city, and they loved that we were helping them out and like through the community. Every person I saw would always thank us and look so happy when we walked by them in our like matching shirts and everything. On our service day, people would honk at us, like when we were like on the side of the road, people would honk and like yell out the window, thank you, and it was just a great feeling, like that people were so grateful for us for in their community that's going through a rough time right now. One person in particular who showed this was a woman named Natasha T. Miller. She was a spoken word poet, she was so powerful. She read a poem. It told people of the gathering how much she loved her city and what Detroit was really about. She said that what we were doing was making a massive impact on the people that lived in Detroit. And because it was just so cool, because the city, it really wants to make a comeback. And everyone we met asked us to come back and say good things about their city. And that's what I want to do.
Good morning. All right, so.
Just be in it. He'll turn you down if you're too loud, I promise.
Okay. So before the gathering, I told people, you know, I'm going to Detroit. And they were like, what, why? Why would you do that? And before, I would just kind of laugh and, you know, oh, I don't know. And then, but after the gathering, I think I have an answer. And I think that's because Detroit's a beautiful city and Detroit has beautiful people. I saw God in the small conversation that we had with the people on the train. I saw God in the people that honked their horns and waved at us as we picked up trash along the road. I saw God in the people waving down from the high rises. I saw God in the Muslim that just wanted us to know that his religion is not all bad. I saw God in Eric Howard, who is the founder of the Alley Project. I saw God in the bus drivers who took us around the city, including the one on the last day who drove us all the way to Ford Field, which was lovely because my feet were hurting. And I saw God in the waiters and the waitresses, including the one who didn't know what coleslaw was. I saw God in the workers in the Cobo Center and the Ford Field Center who encouraged me every morning to wake up because it was 11 o'clock. And lastly, I saw God in the kind woman who hugged me and told me everything was going to be okay as I cried hysterically about the future and the fact that I had to grow up. I think that our country has written off Detroit as a poor city and it's done and it's a lost cause. But after meeting all the people, I saw that they haven't lost hope yet and that we shouldn't either. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to see that.
You want to stand up? Do you know? We gave a lot of standing ovations this week, did we not? We gave a lot, so thank you. I'll tell you that I have printed. These folks just told you where they saw God in Detroit. And the whole time we were there, Detroit News was writing about us because we were news. The Detroit police had to shut down about a three-quarters of a mile corridor so we could get from Ford Field to our buses every night at 9:30. And in the apartments along that street, people were waving at us, and our kids were shouting that God loves them. So I have made copies of, I think I made about 20 copies, 20 packets of copies of those articles. If you would like to read what the folks who write news in Detroit had to say, they're out there. I didn't pass them out because I didn't want you to be reading them right now. So there is news out there about what these folks just told you about from the perspective of Detroiters. Is that what a Detroitian is? So it's a pretty astonishing story. We were told time and again, first by our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, that Detroit has been written off as some place that is dead. But that's exactly where our God always moves first. So we just saw resurrection everywhere, and it was an astonishing week, and we know that you sacrificed so that we could go, and we want you to know how grateful we are for that and how grateful to God we are for everything that happened in those 8 days. So to God be the glory, and we're going to teach you one of the songs that we learned as our hymn of the day. Okay, I didn't know necessarily